Virtues for Life.
Hello and welcome to Virtues for Life. I am Sister Denise with the Brahma Kumaris, and this program is a series of conversations between Brahma Kumars and Brahma Kumaris, that is, people who have been practicing Raj Yoga, meditation, and the spiritual knowledge taught at the Brahma Kumaris for a number of years. This program is a discussion about virtues, because we know that virtues are the foundation of our life. Once we start to bring in the spiritual dimension to our lives, then this practice of virtues, values, powers, and qualities helps us to define who we really are as individuals, and also to describe our contribution to society and to the world. The laws of spirituality explain to us that it is personal transformation that is the main method for bringing about positive global change. And so we pay a lot of attention to our own personal development. Today at Godlywood Studio, I have with me Sister Morni. Welcome to Virtues for Life. Sister Morni is from Australia, and she has been practicing Raj Yoga for the past 36 years. Many of those years were spent coordinating our meditation center in Hong Kong. She was also coordinator of our retreat center at Wilton in Australia and in Cambodia. At this time, Sister Morni is part of the team working on the Future of Power, which is a very interesting and exciting project, bringing together leaders from different fields in India with people from foreign countries who are very interested in Raj Yoga and spirituality. Today's program is looking at the virtue of truth, which you may say a virtue, a value, a power. How would you define it, Sister Morni? Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I guess it's being transparent, being the same inside and out. And if you're really transparent and really truthful in a deeply spiritual way, then there'll be the awareness that I am a soul and not a body. So then you take the transparency to another level altogether.
Okay, let's look at this a little bit more closely. If I have a transparent body and you can see right through my nerves and veins and organs and everything and right through all the way to the soul, what does a soul look like?
Yeah, so if I'm transparent, people wouldn't see my body. They would immediately connect with me. I, the soul, the energy, the life force, the living, thinking being.
The wonder that we all are. Mm. Okay, what makes us opaque?
I think it takes a lot of work to really bring about this transparency, because we've, you know, developed this shell probably to protect ourselves, but we feel the need, and I think this is why these things like anger, greed, ego are called illusion. Okay. Because it's an illusion that we need them. But most of us, even after many years of practicing spirituality, still often feel we need them. So this illusion's a very strong one.
Okay, so if these emotions, these passions are illusions, what's real?
What's real is the essence of all of these qualities, because there's actually no such thing as hate. It's an absence of love. It doesn't really stand on its own, whereas love is a power, is a virtue. It has an essence to it.
So darkness exists or doesn't exist?
No. It's the absence of light. So not really.
So light is real, and when the real isn't there, then you get the unreal.
Mm.
But the unreal doesn't stand by itself. Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
But we are totally cloaked and clothed and dedicated to the dark, to the unreal. Even I was reading an article in the BBC the other day, a science article saying that the known universe is powered by the force of darkness. So I thought, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, see, there tends to be a correlation, doesn't there, between what's happening spiritually and what's happening in the physical world
around
us.
They are mirrors. They are mirrors. Okay, so what stops me being transparent? Am I afraid of being seen?
More than anything else is fear. The main obstacle to truth is fear. We lie, we give excuses, we hide behind, you know, facades because we're afraid.
So let's look at what is exactly fear. Is it an illusion also?
It is, because it's if I know who I am and I am who I am, then there's nothing to be afraid of.
Are we born afraid?
It doesn't seem so, because I've, you know, read some work by child psychologists, and, you know, when we're born, we have these amazing kind of capacities. We even see more colors and feel a lot more. And then they say we pare it all down to deal with reality.
So it's like we're unreality.
Yeah, unreality. So it's like we're being conditioned from a very young age.
By what? By whom?
By cultural norms, so-called norms.
Okay.
Because if you see a three-year-old, my favorite age is 2 to 3, because I see the inner child, what's called that inner child, in a 2 to 3 year old. But after that, it seems they lose who they are, and they start to listen to what other people say. And when they go to school, finished.
It's over. So
it's over.
Are the adults the problem?
Yeah.
So this is us, or are we going to become?
So that's why we need to find our inner child. We need to awaken to who we really are.
So what is it in people that doesn't like the authenticity and spontaneity of a child?
We don't like it?
Well, I don't know. If you see an adult and you see an authentic, spontaneous child and you beat it out of them,
why? Can't control. It's all a thing of control. We can't control a free thinking, a free being.
Well, why would we want to?
Power. It goes back to power. Everything seems to go back to power.
Hard power. You were talking another day on hard power. So what is this lust for power? Why are we so drawn to this? And
again, it's those illusions, because we think that we need more money, more control. But actually, if you see people who live in a state of giving, they're so blissful. I mean, I would say blissful, not just happy.
Mm-hmm.
I met a psychologist. He's apparently one of the psychiatrists. He's apparently one of the top in the whole of North India. And when I went to meet him, he was in this tiny little clinic serving very poor people. Not a very nice place, very basic, but he was blissful. And I thought, this is where it's at, you know, to find that joy from giving, because he could have been so wealthy. He could have been serving all the rich who need it probably more.
Well, if you think of
choice.
Daddy Janky, she always talks about, well, there's a lot of people here serving the poor, but I serve the rich because they really need it. Now, okay, so you have power, you have wealth, but you don't have bliss. And you don't like people who are free and spontaneous. And what went wrong?
Yeah, because then if people are spontaneous, then I can't get anything from them. They're not, I can't hold on to them. And it's again this illusion that I think I need to take.
Now, I found when I've been, you know, talking with people about truth and so on, that people say, okay, yeah, I just want the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. But then when they're faced with the truth, nope, don't want to know, don't want to hear, take it away, get rid of it, can't take it. What's this?
Yeah, because, you know, when we're talking about this thing of fear, we need a lot of courage now to face the truth.
Well, this is another virtue.
Yes, it is.
So courage and truth are absolutely connected. Mm. It was one of the things I found in my conversations with different Brahma Kumaras and Kumaris about virtues, is although we take up individual virtues in our conversations, we pretty soon realize that they cannot be worked with in isolation. We have to see the ones that are part of it. There's a big spectrum of virtues. Mm. So the whole thing is virtuous. Now, this word virtuous, do you think of yourself as a virtuous person?
I don't think people really feel comfortable often with that word, because it sounds a bit judgmental somehow. You know, okay. It's like purity. It's got a bit of a baggage around it. Like you, before we were talking, this word moral.
Yes.
You know, so virtuous has a bit of that. But yeah, I would say that when there's virtue, then there's a lot of joy and happiness and lightness. And
well, everybody wants joy, happiness, lightness, yeah, and so on, but they don't want to be virtuous.
Yeah.
What's this?
Yeah, because we, like for me, I didn't like the word purity before I understood it a little bit deeper, because I thought purity was boring. It meant not having this and not having that.
Right.
So I think, again, maybe religion has played a role in minimalizing things, so that it's like, if you're moral, if you're good, if you're virtuous, if you're pure,
then you can't have,
you have
anything.
Nothing. You can't be happy, you can't enjoy beauty. But I think in spirituality we realize that beauty and joy are basic qualities of the soul, so they can't be taken away.
Do you think that the thinkers, our philosophers, our, you know, the thought leaders have been leading us astray and confusing us about what's right and wrong and good and bad and all that?
It could be because of this patriarchal dominance that's been there, because, I mean, not to be too, you know, black and white about this, but often men come more from the head, you know? And so I think a lot of the philosophy that's written and by men is very heady stuff.
Okay.
You know, and I think we need to come to the heart and
do you,
balance.
Do you think that, you know, I know very often if you look at the way boys are educated, they're kind of in a way prepared to be soldiers or prepared to be business people and to take and to cause damage and so on. Has that broken their hearts?
I think a lot of boys have lost themselves in that, and that's why I see within the Brahma Kumaris that a lot of the men very naturally come into these, you know, feminine kind of qualities. A lot of other men, and even women, I know one woman, she didn't like it when her husband became soft. She wanted him to be macho. She lost respect for him when he became soft and gentle and loving. So it's like a, you know, a mindset that's been
brainwashed. Do you think we're hypnotized?
Brainwashed. Yeah, and categorizing, you know, men are macho and they're dominant, and women are
men
like
are from
this.
Men Mars and women are from Venus, and don't meet. Yeah. So, you know, in truth, if we're talking about relationships, the male-female, the couple, which is, after all, the unit of human society, is the couple, the married couple, and from them, the family, you know, and in the society, the community, and so on. So false is to separate and make the male and female having an antagonistic relationship. And there's this expression, you know, jhuti maya, jhuti kaya, jhuta sab sansar. You know this one. The world is false, the body is false, the whole world is false. Maya, what is maya?
Yeah, it all comes from identifying with the body. Because actually, how can we say that men are better than women? I mean, what's the basis of any truth in that? It
Well, it might go to some. You mentioned about religion, philosophy. There is this word. The word in Hindi for a man is purush, which means a being. And prakriti, the woman, the earth, the object, you know. Mm. And I think that this idea of a woman as an object has perhaps broken the relationship.
Yeah.
Purusha and Prakriti, as we sometimes experience in our studies of Raja Yoga, Purush is the soul, Prakriti is the body. Mm. So each of us is a couple in our own right.
Yes. Yeah, we need all masculine quality and feminine qualities within each of us. But if there could be respect in the relationship, like you say, this unit of a man and a woman, if there's respect, then of course that would be a very different situation. And it's happening. It's happening more and more. At least, you know, being from Australia, I've been quite impressed with the level that it's changed since I was growing up.
Yeah. Still has a way to go if we are to listen to Julia Gillard. Because I think that, you know, there is some attitudes that are very entrenched that perhaps we have grown up with for many generations. And one of the things that we do talk about in our Raja Yoga studies is the idea of transformation, change, the change of the age. Perhaps this idea of some energy of truth coming into a world of falsehood is causing some of this. What do you feel about that?
Well, it's interesting that you talk about this, because I went to a conference about suicide.
Yeah.
And the suicide rate amongst young men, like young, 19 to 24, is so high. And they were saying perhaps it's because of this. They don't know their place anymore. They don't know what they can do that a woman can't do. And it was there was a study going on about what's happening, that men are kind of losing it, because the same suicide rate is not there with women.
Oh.
Yeah, this was in New Zealand, Australia, England.
Places which are traditionally quite macho.
Mm.
It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult.
And where women are claiming their place,
women,
maybe it's, causing a lot of confusion.
Sister Moni, we are coming towards the end of our time together, but there's one question I'd really like to look at, and that is, what does it mean to be true to oneself?
It's a very big question, because I think it takes many years to know the self.
But many people, they say to me, I just want to be authentic. That's all I want to be, is authentic. How can I be authentic? What would you?
It takes a lot of courage. Because
back to that word, courage
back
again.
To that word, courage, because I don't think it's an easy thing. It means being true to yourself no matter what. And often parents, friends, children, husbands want us to be different to who we intrinsically know we're meant to be.
So is it because of our dependency on other people's approval, or
a big thing is that?
Yeah,
and it's not just other people, even society, like religions have made it very difficult for people to be real. It's often against the law to change religions. And yet, if really it's not you, how are you going to be yourself? So, you know, it comes from big powers as well. So it's...
Is it a kind of a religion to be true?
Yes, it is. That's self-religion.
The Swadharma.
Mm.
We use this expression, Swadharma Shant, that the religion of the self is to be... Well, for me, Shant is quiet, still, and peaceful, three things.
Because we can only know ourselves when we start there.
So what stops us being true to ourselves?
Fear. Again, fear. Mm.
So again, courage. Now we're going round and around and around. So where's the point that we can insert something to break that cycle and really create a shift?
Yeah, I think it really is that word, courage. I think it's goes side by side with truth?
Well, there are many things to ponder on. I think that I'd like to thank you very much for your insights, your presence, your participation in this program, Virtues for Life. This has been a conversation between Brahma Kumaris and Kumaris about virtues. Virtues are one of what we call in Raj Yoga the four pillars of Raj Yoga. If we can develop all the virtues in our life, this foundation makes us so strong that we cannot be shaken and we can manage whatever tests come our way. And it is, after all, the university of life. Let us ponder on this virtue of truth for a moment. Being true, not being distracted by the illusions of Maya, of negative emotions, of materialism, and try to turn within and focus transparently on that inner self, the soul, the diamond, the heart, the true heart that each one of us is, and really have value for ourselves. And I think also a very important thing that we are trying to convey in our conversations is the value of being considerate of other people and maintaining one's self-respect. Thank you all very much for your participation and presence in today's show, and thank you again to Sister Mauni. I look forward to seeing you all again very soon. Om Shanti.